All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, the podcast that stars the greatest sage of Tampa Bay sports of this century, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, the summer sales challenge is almost over at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. They're challenging all other dealers to give you the lowest clearance prices of the summer. Right now, lease a 2017 ATS sedan, just $299. XT5 crossovers, $329. It's the final clearance. Visit EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. That's EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Offers expire at the end of the month, but definitely call the dealership. Check the website, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. A lot of times they do get extended into Labor Day. These are tremendous opportunities. And at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, the Summer Sale Challenge continues. It's almost over. General Manager Brian Danahy has final clearance on overstocked vehicles. They're challenging also all other dealers to give you huge made-to-move clearance savings. Your satisfaction is our passion at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Don't miss these savings. Edmore's Summer Sales Challenge ends soon at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Of course, click Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. It's Tuesday, week one, game week, Ira, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz here with Lee DeCamper. We're JoeBucksFan.com, joined by, of course, the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman, a man who's always adorned in Edmore's Cadillac Tampa gear, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon gear, as we just heard about all their great offers. And Ira, of course, you're not just with us here on JoeBucksFan.com with your three times a week columns and your twice-a-week podcasts, which are exploding in popularity. You're also...
And there's going to be a picks column, Steve, this year.
Yeah, we've got some changes coming. Yeah. Of course, you'll be doing your 10 takeaways after each game, so people get your sage wisdom in number format.
It's a bonus column, Steven.
It's a bonus column. No
your
raise.
Bonus check.
You don't have to do it. You feel free to not do it.
Continue.
You're always welcome to just stick to the plan, Ira. No extra credit points. Anyway... also, you've got every Sunday, we're going to announce here that you will be on Fox Sports locally, Fox 13.
Bucks pregame show.
Very cool Bucks pregame show. Scott Smith's Sunday Bonanza, whatever he's calling it. We'll double check.
It's going to be on at 10:30.
Yes, Steve. We have him no Bonanza.
I believe at 10:30, Steve, is the show.
So you'll be on television on Fox every Sunday at 10:30 in the morning. Very nice. It's a morning show.
And this week we start up with the dog again, Steven.
And that puts you every Wednesday, 5 p.m., Sirius, Mad Dog, Radio. Ira Kaufman gets a whole hour? Half hour?
Half hour, sir.
Half hour, and it's nice because you don't just hit on Buck stuff. You're all over the NFL, and Chris Russo, the Mad Dog himself, hits you on all kinds of topics.
Guys, I try to talk Bucks, but last year when I said Mike Evans is an emerging star, Russo said, Mike who? So, that's what I'm up against. These people don't follow the Buccaneers. But you know what? If they start playing like we think they can and what the talent on the roster implies, I think they will be starting to talk about the
Bucs. A little bit of breaking news. Just coming across the Associated Press, the NFL is considering moving the Bucs-Dolphins game either to a different site or Thursday or Friday.
That makes sense. Steve, the answer's simple. Move the game up, keep it at Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins are already giving up a home game playing in London this year. They got $500 million of stadium renovations. Stephen Ross doesn't want to give up two home games. So
That's a great point.
They're not going to play at Ray J. Forget that. That's not going to happen. So I say move the game up. I was saying Saturday. Saturday might not be early enough. Friday. Some people are even talking about Thursday. Steve, it's looking like... this fan retreat might be in a little bit of a jeopardy.
Well, let's calm down here. We're talking, of course, Hurricane Irma churning in the Atlantic with a path that's heading toward Florida. But we've all been in the state here a long time. It's Monday. We're talking here Monday afternoon.
Yesterday, the cone had it going into the, you know, the banks of North Carolina.
And this whole thing,
all of a sudden, it's taking dead aim on the Sunshine State.
This whole thing could change by tomorrow night. Could be totally different situation. So it is early, but it is interesting. If they do move up the game, one, yes, that will screw your huge party at Miramar at the Hampton Inn for the fanretreat.com event featuring Ira Kaufman. I hope that doesn't happen because it's going to be a hell of a night on Saturday night with nearly 200 people confirmed to attend. But if they do move it up Thursday, Friday, I think that's a good thing for the Bucks. Now, what do you think, Ira? And I'll explain why later.
I think the least likely scenario is they play it on that bye week, which both teams have in a week. First of all, I think it would be a tremendous disadvantage to both the Dolphins and the Bucks. They have a very favorable bye week. They've worked hard for that bye week. And to play 16 straight weeks when other teams, every other team,
great
30
point.
Of them,
great.
Get a week off is a disadvantage. I don't think the NFL is going to go that way. Moving the game up, Steve, now Thursday, boy, they got to move things in a hurry. The Bucks would have to leave on Wednesday. We got to get out of here probably on Wednesday. But they got to do what they got to do. And the National Weather Service is monitoring this thing. They got airplanes flying into the storm. You know, you talk about putting your life in your hands. Anything with Irma, I want no part of it, the name Irma. That conjures up bad memories.
Uh-oh.
Over there.
Did you date somebody named Irma?
Yeah, there was an Irma in the third grade. Instead of me pulling her hair, she used to pull my hair. Like, that's how bad things got. But, Steve, you think it's an advantage for the Bucks? Well, I think they're itching to play because the three of us have to admit one thing. They looked very, very disinterested and lethargic in the preseason, and I'll go one step further. I think a lot of that came from the head coach. Dirk Koetter was kind of disinterested, and I don't really blame him. You know, I've written many times, Steve, and I'm sticking to it. The object of August is to get out healthy. The Bucks have done that. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares that they were 1-3 and looked bad doing it. They played one good half of football, I think, at Jacksonville. That's about it. But who cares, Steve? It's going to cut down on practice time, but I know your point. Shouldn't the Bucks be ready right now? They've had all this time to practice.
No.
So let's play the game at Hard Rock and move it up.
Now, I know how Steve thinks. So, Steve, with part of that being beneficial to the Bucks, given that they'll get more national exposure because it'll be the only game in town, if it is a Friday night.
No, you're both not in my head. And stop telling me what I'm thinking, Kaufman. Come on.
It's not hard. Go ahead.
No, I look at it this way. If they play Friday night, which I think is logical, because Thursday, gosh, the Bucks have to leave Wednesday. It's tomorrow's Tuesday. Today, as this podcast pops, it's Tuesday.
Right.
That's almost unrealistic. The storm isn't even that close necessarily. But
let's
say they play Friday night, and the Bucks fly out Thursday. They play a Friday night game, and that's it. Okay, that gives them extra rest.
Yes.
For the Bears game. That's what I'm thinking. Is the Bears game those extra 2 days off? That's golden for a team as far as preparation. And to get their bodies a little bit extra healthy after the first game.
And you're assuming they don't need the extra practice reps this week, which they're going to lose.
Correct. They don't need the extra reps this week. The game plan, you know, needs to be installed, but, you know, they've already accelerated that. It's been in preparation for months.
Yeah, I can't get a straight answer out of Koetter, and I understand why, because, you know, he doesn't have to do the injury report till Wednesday. Although if the game's moved up, maybe he's got to do an injury report tomorrow. Well, we don't know. Yeah. But anyway, Lee, I keep probing about whether he's going to have all his starters available and dressed. And I asked him on Monday, and Steve, he doesn't want to go there. Well, it depends who you count as my 22 starters. Well, I'm talking about guys like Quan Alexander, Mike Evans, DeMar Dotson, guys that are, you know, unquestioned starters. You know, there's not a lot of competition in that regard. So those are the guys, you know, that tweaked a few things. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if Koetter said, "We think it'll be all hands on deck." I mean, there's some injuries to the backups or whatever. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I'm asking about the key guys. And he doesn't want to talk about injuries.
He's being evasive.
Evasive. Nice one, my friend. Nice one. Would you be surprised if Dotson doesn't play, Lee? Or Quan?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I think we spoke about this before. I know you guys were horrified at the thought, and I'm not. And our friend Justin Pawlowski on his podcast that appeared Monday on JoeBucksFan.com. He's in the same mindset. Beckwith has played so well, I'm not shivering in fright that if he has to start over.
You finally found somebody to agree with you, DeKemper. Very nice. So the commission's on board.
Commission's on board, too. Beckwith has played so well. He's like, you know, I'm not even coming close to saying that this guy is as equal as Kwan. That's crazy talk, but as well as Beckwith has played, I you know, if it had to be any backup, I'm not worried.
Well, he's going to get a face full of Jay Ajayi. I can tell you that right now, Steve, whether it's Alexander or Beckwith. And my questions about Beckwith are only that, you know, the learning curve is still underway. And I don't question the guy's talent, and he looks like he's recovered from the knee, Steve. But I think it's a tall order. Now, Kwan did start as a rookie mm-hmm. in the middle, but there's not a lot of Kwan Alexanders to go around.
No, and the Bucks defense struggled that year under Lovey. They also started the season 1-3, and Kwan, he came on like game 3 is when he
and
really sort of took off.
When he was suspended by the end.
The Falcons games when he went crazy. Yeah. Was that game 4, game 5?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. The reason I'm in that Buccaneers mindset, and I want to take you there, Ira, but I'm thinking 10-6 season. I'm thinking the playoff team. You got to win week 1, and substituting Beckwith in his first NFL start as the Mike linebacker against a good team.
A heavy running team.
Against, you know, a good team, 90-something degrees out. The guy, you know, I'd much rather have Kwan Alexander in there when we're talking about winning the game, which is critical. Not that I'm afraid of Beckwith. He's looked great, but I'd rather have Kwan. So
Of course, I'd rather have Kwan in there. But if Kwan is injured and can't go, I'm not losing sleep over Beckwith.
Steve, to your point, and to your larger point, I picked 10-6. His bits might be shading towards 10-6. Lee, you'll give yours.
Uh-oh.
But I'll say this, and I made this point in my column. You don't pick up DeSean Jackson and T.J. Ward from ownership on down. You don't pick those guys up at good salaries if you don't think this team's ready to do some damage.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do it. If you still think this team's in the middle of that that curve and the mm-hmm. cycle – you know, we've heard so much about cycles. Well, guess what? Cycle's over. This team is a good football team. There's a lot of talent on this team. They're healthy. Go into Miami and kick their butts. They got a new quarterback. Now, Cutler's a veteran, and yeah, he knows Adam Gase. He didn't know his teammates.
That's a good point. He got thrown into
that situation.
That's a good point.
So I'm going to say it again. I load up the box. I face the Jai. I try to make them one-dimensional. Because I don't trust really the Buck rushing defense if you don't load up the box. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a problem. And then I dare Jay Cutler to pick me apart.
Well, you're setting me up here for a question. I knew we had to speak about T.J. Ward on your podcast, obviously, because that's huge news. What can we expect, if anything, from Sunday? I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com Monday morning. The guy just got here. Someone tried to compare, Wilcox was scheduled to start. So what? T.J. Ward's a Pro Bowler. I'm like, this isn't Madden video games where guys are plug and play.
At least, especially if the game's moved up a couple of days.
That's
even less time.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, Ward, he's as we're sitting here Monday afternoon, he has yet to go through a position meeting yet. So what can be expected? He's never played for Mike Smith. He's never played in Mike Smith's defense. This guy, a commenter on JoeBucksFan.com, brought up Wilcox. Wilcox had all offseason, had a full training camp, where Ward's just stepping off the plane.
I still think he gets on the field.
Oh, I'm not saying he won't get on the field.
It's Friday, Thursday, or Sunday.
But, I mean, I don't see him starting Sunday.
I don't think he'll start. Mm-hmm. I think he'll play spots, passing situations, Steve. And I don't think it's going to take him long to fit in with the guys around.
And here's something else to throw at you. And Steve and I know the background. One of these days we're going to get somebody on the record we could explain this. But when the Bucks, specifically Mike Smith, and of course all the defensive players have been trained to use this answer when talking about the defense last year, the difference between pre-bye and after-bye, about how the defense flipped. And everybody talks about communication issues. That's really glossing over. It's not inaccurate, but it's totally glossing over the specifics. Conte's a veteran.
Grimes is a veteran.
Well, Grimes to Tandy, I'm thinking of. Keith Tandy, he's a veteran. He's been around since 2012. Hasn't been a starter, but he's been around. If it took those guys half a season to figure out the communication, and Ward's just stepping off the plane, you know, I don't think he's going to start right away, number one. Number two, I don't think he's going to excel right away. Because look what those guys did last year. Those guys were freelancing half the time.
But it's not going to take long for him to make an impact. Steve, he's a big-time player from a big-time defense that's used to playing big games against good opponents. He's going to get the job done, and he can't wait to play with Grimes, and he likes Hargraves already.
It's an interesting situation with Ward. I agree with you with the mentality of the signing. It just speaks to the whole win now thing, which is just exciting as a Bucks fan. But you know, Lee is spot on here with Ward needing to acclimate. Yes. You can't just walk off the plane and be a good fit. It's interesting. If you think back to Nard Jackson, he sat out a year, and then he came in and played Drew Brees, and I think he had a pick and had a hell of a game. Now, he hadn't practiced. He just walked right in off a suspension, but he had been in the defense.
Exactly.
And we've seen other guys do this, but the Bucks should not have the need. This, is, I think, is the key to it. They should not need T.J. Ward to beat the Dolphins.
You don't want to force him in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, yeah, we all assumed, as I did at least before this weekend, that Conte and Tandy would start.
I think they will.
That's what it appeared through most of the offseason. Remember, Wilcox was injured, missed a lot of the offseason program, and that's what we saw in preseason. So they should not need this guy. I wanted to ask you this on the Ward thing. Aside from his, you know, and of course he's had some hamstring issues with Denver, so there's that. What is the referendum here from your sage wisdom, Ira, your years and decades of covering the Buccaneers, 60, 70 years of covering NFL football? Is this a referendum here on Justin Evans that we just drafted a second-round pick to play safety? Where does that fit in here?
Well, I'll say this. Evans didn't turn any heads during the preseason, nor on the practice field. Ask Cutter about Evans. He's kind of nondescript, sort of like the Lovey. He did okay, and we know what that meant.
Yep.
He's struggling.
Uh-huh.
The kid's got to learn better tackling technique. And
he admits it.
And he admits it. Hey, one little side note to this, Lee. Tell me if I'm pushing this a little too strong. But we heard it again from T.J. Ward. We certainly heard it from DeSean Jackson. Now you got T.J. Ward talking about it. Guys, finally, Tampa Bay is a destination for NFL available players.
And why is that?
Whether they're free, because of number three.
Yes.
And you got T.J. Ward mentioning the quarterback. You know, he's not playing with... He's not lining up with Jameis Winston, uh-huh. but he sure mentioned Jameis Winston. Winston impressed him, even though the Bucs didn't do much against the Broncos that day.
Nor did Winston.
You mentioned that in the press conference. Mm-hmm. You're right. Denver's defense shut them down the whole game.
Because that shocked me. He said Jameis impressed him, and I was shocked. Like, wait a minute, that may have been his worst game.
You know what impressed him? That he was still out there fighting, the competitive spirit of Winston. So, look, Lee's right. Winston's leading the charge. But, Steve, there's a seismic shift going on here. And if they do win 10 games and make the playoffs, it's going to do nothing but continue where the old salt was, nobody wants to come to Tampa. You can't get free agents to come.
Not
anymore. It's changing big time, Lee.
You're exactly
right. That's exciting for Bucks.
And that hasn't happened since the glory days, of course. And I just think it's just, you know, to your point, Ward's not lining up with Winston. But one of the big reasons he came here was because of Winston. It's like, whoa. And we obviously, by Hard Knocks, we know that DeSean Jackson turned down bigger money elsewhere because he wanted to play with Winston. And this is exactly when Steve and I, for years, on JoeBucksFan.com, were just going bananas. Would you draft a quarterback? This is why. This is what your franchise quarterback does. You know, your top-shelf quarterbacks, they want to play for a Drew Brees. They want to play for a Tom Brady, a Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, you name it. Now the Bucks have that quarterback.
And if Freeman would have kept developing off the 2010 season, we might have had this in 2013.
Perhaps.
But we didn't. He went south.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, he went south. And I mean dead south.
Yeah, he did.
All right. Go ahead, Stephen. Anyway, do you agree that things are changing in terms of acquiring talent and enticing talent to consider coming to Tampa?
Sure. I mean, I'm a little cynical. Guys come for the money. You know, T.J. Ward said on NFL radio that he made his decision Saturday night. He was already texting people by 10 o'clock. That's awfully quick turnaround. The guy was cut on Saturday, I believe.
He was.
Yes.
So that's Jason Light pouncing, saying, we're going to pay you. We want you. Let's go. And
you showed him love and money.
And so, you know, that's a quick, I don't know. I believe that Jameis has an effect. Absolutely. And the DeSean Jackson thing, I think that was clear. But I think, frankly, DeSean Jackson, as much as he praised Jameis, I think he wanted to come here just as much because of Mike Evans. He knows that that's going to lead him to get open catches and to contribute in a huge way.
And vice versa.
So it was a perfect fit for him. But, yeah, it's exciting because, look, when you're looking to break that tie for a top free agent, The Bucs should be able to break that tie left and right right now, and that wasn't the situation
before. You know,
Lee,
before. It wasn't long ago. I'm talking about 3 years ago when I remember I would look at the Buck roster once it was finalized, and there'd be like three guys that are 30 year older out of 53. Now I think there's eight or nine, might be nine with Ward. That's a big change. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Logan Mankins, but they were very few and far between. Sure. Very few. And Vincent Jackson.
You took
maybe.
Words out of Vincent Jackson.
Yeah,
Vincent
well, they
Jackson.
Traded for Logan Mankins. He didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when his initial press conference, he was shell-shocked. I've never seen a guy just completely mind-blown in a press. Do you remember that? It was right before a preseason game. He looked like someone shot his dog or something, or someone told him his mother was in an accident.
But you know,
I'll never
you know
forget
what?
That.
It didn't take long before he got caught up in the Jameis Winston.
Right away.
And I just thought it was remarkable that a guy like Mankins played in big games and towards the end of his career, and he's re-energized
because
by a 21-year-old at that time. That was something to see. And Vincent Jackson was like that, too.
Very
he
much
couldn't
so.
Stop talking about
and
James.
And we have a picture on JoeBucksFan.com that we run periodically. Won't run much anymore because Vincent Jackson's no longer with the team. But Vincent Jackson embracing Jameis in the tunnel before a game.
These guys are salty vets, Steve. You'd think they'd be a little jaded maybe, you know, towards the back end of their careers, and they're not going to get hepped up by some kid who's got all kinds of energy. Mm-hmm. But very infectious. You know, Jameis is bubbling enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's a special time with the Bucs, especially if Jameis progresses even a little bit this year, if he can go a half a step or a full step forward. Then the whole world knows, hey, 3 years – of a franchise quarterback, kid's the real deal, 3 years in a row. You know, that's even more. It should go another level, is my point. Whatever we're at now, it should continue to increase.
Lee, if the Bucs come home 27-13 losers, would you consider the bubble burst for some fans?
Well, for some fans, for some fans. But, you know, that's way too early. Yeah, it'd be disappointing. First loss of the season, first game, first at bat. And when you say 13 points, that means offense isn't clicking. Depression, sure, but I wouldn't call it a funereal environment.
Well, last year they opened with a bang, Steve, and the next thing you know, they're 1-3 and 3-5. So, you know, and you got players telling Isbits that the win went to their head. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that tells you how young and
you're obsessed with that. It's a year ago. You can't believe it. All right, let's thank Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Definitely want to visit Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa.com, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.com. Those are the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. 70 plus years of Ed Morris in business across Florida. Fantastic family-owned business.
What a brand, Stephen. A brand.
And also, Ira, your podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Podbean. Subscribe, you get a nice little alert in your phone, and you know the podcast is there when it posts every Tuesday and Thursday. And of course, you can listen Wednesday, Friday, whenever you want to listen, you listen. It always amazes me how people listen to the whole thing the next day, or even a day and a half later, or they go back and listen to old episodes. May I say, you, Todd Wright, and Justin Pulaski together a couple of episodes back. Definitely take a listen if you haven't heard that.
And you went through the numbers with me today, Steven.
You are leading in iTunes in the rotating real-time rankings of episodes.
What a battle with me and the commission. It's all good for Joe Bucks fan, isn't it, Steve? It's all good.
Specifically to iTunes, you are in a dominant position right now, Ira, so enjoy your glory. I know you like
to... I'm used to being in the dominant position, Steve.
Yeah, you're...
Very familiar to me.
Disgusting man, Ira. Dirty old man. All right. So let's go to this, Ira, as far as Quan Alexander, you touched on this before. He didn't come out. He was supposed to come out and talk to the media today, Monday. We're at One Buck Palace in our bugged room here. And he was supposed to talk. And all of a sudden, we're told Quan doesn't want to.
Not available.
Quan doesn't want to. Is not participating today. Does that mean his hamstring is out? I mean, we saw the video on JoeBucksFan.com. Rock Riley had the exclusive video of when Quan got hurt. And Quan is a guy who likes to talk. He was just named captain. Right, we got the captains, Quan.
I'm kind of with you on this, Steven. I don't want to read the tea leaves and squeeze them too much, but you're right. He was announced that he was coming. Then he was made unavailable. Instead, I got Bernard Reedy. you know, the next tackle Reedy makes will be the first. Look, I'm hoping Quan Alexander plays. He's a critical player for the Bucs. He's missed four games, and they're 0-4 when Quan Alexander's not on the field. I don't think it's a coincidence. Lee, they need him, especially against Miami.
No, but the pattern there was Lovie Smith. He knew, and I'm sorry to bring up tear apart old wounds here, but the Bucs knew when Quan got busted in preseason, he was going to get hit with four games, and Lovie, which was his downfall, refused to adjust.
It would not surprise me, Steve, if when the injury report comes out, and that could depend on when this game is shifted, if
sure.
it is, if Alexander's listed as questionable. Yeah. Lee, that's not going to surprise me at
no,
all.
No, same here.
As far as that goes with Alexander, and this is sort of an insider thing that we can share here on the podcast, fans at home, they don't realize that Quan was supposed to talk to the media today, but didn't come out after practice. And we were not in the locker room. It was like just special media sessions.
You're thinking he might have regressed.
It's a red flag. I don't know. It's a red flag because Quan likes to talk. And also, now that I think about it, since Lee mentioned this, if the game is moved up, the Bucs are not supposed to practice tomorrow, which is Tuesday. You would think that they would definitely practice if the game is moved up.
And
they might do a last-minute change to their schedule, which could affect some things if guys are and aren't ready or needed an extra day. So who knows?
I hope the NFL doesn't wait till late this week to announce changes. They should make an announcement tomorrow, Lee.
It's
too early. I mean,
gotta see the storm.
Almost jumping the gun. Like, you know, obviously all three of us, we live in Florida.
You're on the side of caution, Stephen. You're on the side of caution. Move it up to Friday night. There you go. Take care of business. Are you worried about going up against high school football, Mr.
No, that's such baloney, going up against high school football. Ira, I know you went to a high school football game last year. It was
a
playoff game.
I did.
How many people were there?
Oh, it was teeming with about 85 people.
Yeah.
Teeming.
Yeah, so, you know, when everybody says, oh, that's like this outrage, you can't go up against high school football. I mean, 30 years ago, high school football was a huge thing in Florida. Not anymore. It's pretty much family and friends. So the NFL should be worried about high school football. They're not worried about college football.
Steve, if they move it to Thursday, they got to announce it tomorrow.
Ira, a lot of money at stake. First of all, NFL does not want anything conflicting with its opening night, Sunday night football, or Thursday night football,
that's right.
NBC.
That's right.
They don't want anything.
Bingo.
That's a big
Patriots.
Yeah, exactly.
Patriots Chiefs.
So,
that's a good one.
They don't want anything taken away from that. There's a lot of fantasy football, daily fantasy money at stake, which are sponsors of the NFL, with the way those things work, without getting into that here. So I think Friday is the most likely. Just based on the storm track, it doesn't seem like there'll be any issues there Friday at all. And if there's no issues, the team's out. The teams are out by, before
midnight.
And
the Bucs get two extra days of rest playing the Mighty Bears.
The critical issue here is, and I'm sure Steve would agree with this, and I can understand why a lot of people would overlook it, can they get the stadium ready by Friday? Will they have security ready, police, workers,
concessions,
you name it? You know, will they have the staff available to get the game, you know, rather than Sunday, have it ready for Friday? And here's one I don't know. You know, they thought about even Saturday.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of considerations. Yeah, you know, it's easy for us to say, oh, play it Friday, but they got to have the cops available and everybody else who takes care of it. It'll be interesting. All right, captains. Captains were named today, Ira. Typically, there's two on offense, two on defense, one special teams. So we went three on defense. Derek Cutter told us player vote brought out Gerald McCoy, Levante David as returning captains, and Quan Alexander as a new captain. On offense, Mike Evans is a new captain, Jameis Winston as a captain, Josh Robinson as your special teams captain. Now, you said on this podcast, Ira, that you thought maybe Gerald McCoy wouldn't make it as a captain if there were only two.
I had Robert Ayers. I had Robert Ayers ticketed, and even though there were three defensive captains, Lee, Ayers went by the wayside.
And Quan was your number two. You thought Quan would be the second.
Yes. You know, Ayers, by all accounts, Lee, is the guy who made the speech and got in everybody's grill during the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
We're better than this. Shape up. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not spilling any secrets here. When you encounter Robert Ayers and he gives you that look, you're not going to talk back to Robert Ayers.
Yeah,
Robert
Ayers is a teddy bear, I think. But if you get on his wrong side, well, I would not want to be.
He's got a look, Steve. He's got a look. I approached McCoy the other day, and Ayers goes, "I'm talking to him. Back off."
He said that to you?
I moved back about 80 feet. I never moved that fast in my life.
He told you to back off?
Yeah, back off, baby. But I had Ayers. You know, you're right. Look, not every prediction I make can be correct over there.
Hard to believe.
I'm not the amazing Kreskin. I don't know if you guys remember him from the
vaguely. I never understood the appeal on Carson.
Amazing Kreskin.
Like, what did he ever do? Yeah. You know, the amazing Kreskin.
Or Karnak the Magnificent. That was Karnak's thing.
That I like.
So Ayers didn't make it, even though they went with three defensive captains. Ayers didn't make it, and You know, McCoy, I mean, he's been here since 2010, Steve. And he's a heck of a player. So, no surprise to anybody. Now, they went linebacker two times. And McCoy, nobody from the secondary, which makes sense. Grimes has only been here 1 year.
Hargraves is a second-year guy. Yeah.
Levante, Quan, and McCoy. Those are the guys that have to carry this defense, along with Brent Grimes and T.J. Ward. And I think they can do it.
Now, the Dolphins, Ira, what do you make of this? Left guard. Okay, I wrote about this a couple times.
Look at you, you breaking know down the left guard situation.
Well, it's opening day. Got a lot of time to read about the Dolphins. So, left guard of the Dolphins. You know who was supposed to start at left guard?
Yes.
This season?
The former Buck.
Yeah, Ted Larson.
The pride of Palm Harbor?
Yes, the pride of Palm Harbor.
Now, your offensive line, that's not good when Ted Larson is your starting left guard. Ted Larson at 30 years old, who you know Arizona wanted no part of, and they got rid of him and the Bears.
It's questionable at 26, though, Lee. I don't know about 30.
So he was your starting left guard, and now he's out. He's out hurt. And they're probably going to start this guy. I think it's Jesse Davis or something. Forget his name. Doesn't matter. Undrafted free agent.
And guess who's going to be standing over Mr. Davis?
It's his third year out
Mr. Gerald McCoy.
Third year out of Idaho. 2 years on a practice squad for different teams. Nobody wanted this guy. Here he is. He's probably going to start against Gerald McCoy. Now, you said it yourself. This Buck run defense was a problem last year. Here's an opportunity. And Mike Pouncey at center, he's coming off a hip injury. He played like 10 snaps in the preseason. He hasn't played a full game in a long time.
Hey, if they want to put two or three guys on McCoy, Baker, that's what you're here for. Let's go, Swaggy. That's the way I'm looking at it. Make your presence felt. There's no tree around for you to hug.
Oh.
Hug a running back. You want to hug something? Hug Jay Ajayi. How do you like that, Isbitz? that's a problem from a Miami perspective. That is a problem. Now, you guys seem to think the Dolphins' wide receivers, that they got two Antonio Browns on their roster.
No, but they're good. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they're three Hall of Famers.
Are they DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans good? Are they that caliber?
Landry's damn good.
I'm not a Cutler fan, and neither is T.J. Ward, judging from his responses today.
What do you think you're going to see? I had thought we'd talk more about the Dolphins game on Thursday on your next podcast, but you know what? We might not be able to pull that off. I don't know. Who knows? But as long as we're here on the Dolphins, Ira, what do you think the response is going to be from the Dolphins fans to Jay Cutler? Do you think if the Bucs can get up in this game that they turn on Cutler quickly?
Well, right now, Cutler's got a honeymoon because they weren't all that thrilled with Tannehill, Lee. They weren't enthralled with Tannehill. Some people wanted him out of there. Mm-hmm. So they're going to look at this excuse as a good thing from a Dolphins perspective. I don't agree with that. Tannehill knew his teammates. He wasn't bad. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. His problem was he couldn't win big games. But he wasn't a bad quarterback. He's a middle-of-the-road quarterback.
Middling, now, yeah. At best.
Cutler, all of a sudden, I'm not going to treat him like all of a sudden, this guy's Dan Marino. He makes a lot of bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to what T.J. Ward said on Monday, mm-hmm. Lee, he didn't use these words, but it was exactly what he meant. Cutler thinks he can throw into tight windows.
You know, that's a good point.
Now, that's a Jameis Winston. But Jameis Winston was 21 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
Cutler has been around.
Yeah.
And he still thinks he can squeeze it in. And what does that tell you? And Drew Brees is like that in some regards. But there's only one Drew Brees.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. It means you're going to be able – you're going to have an opportunity to make some plays.
True.
You know, Tom Brady, you don't get these opportunities. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, you don't get too many. Mm-hmm. This guy, you do. So I'm calling out Vernon Hargraves, who I think is going to be all over the ball this year. Tipped passes. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in that vicinity. He's playing with a lot more confidence,
yeah.
A lot more aggression. I think the Bucs pick off two passes if they can corral that running game and get some third and eights going. Mm-hmm. Heck, we know how good the third down defense was last year when they didn't have a very good rush defense. You know, Steve, the more I think about it, I think it was 34%, which is a very low figure, success rate against the Buck defense on third down. And they weren't a very good rush defense, Lee, at the same time. So
that's
you
true.
Couple those things together, I think it makes it even more impressive what the Bucks did, Mike Smith's defense
so
on
you're,
third down.
You're really hoping that the Dolphins try to beat the Bucks with Cutler.
I really do. I really do. I think the Bucs pass defense is much improved. And once Ward gets acclimated, and I don't mean this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean week five.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a big player for this team. And all of a sudden, that secondary could be a strength where, you know, a couple months ago we thought it might be a problem.
Now, earlier we talked about safeties and admission and Justin Evans is struggling. What does it say about J.J. Wilcox?
A recognition. J.J. Wilcox, I look at J.J. Wilcox a little like I looked at Deshaun Goldson in terms of
referendum was the word I was looking for.
Referendum. There you go. Now he came up with the word. Steve.
Too late.
Deshaun Goldson, you know, he never fit. He was playing a game that you can't play anymore in the NFL. He never made that adjustment that I think the John Lynches and the Brian Dawkins would have made with the safety parent being
or
paramount.
Or T.J. Ward.
Yeah. Or T.J. Ward. Mm-hmm. Or Cam Chancellor. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes.
Still a hell heck
Another
of a
one.
Player. And Wilcox is a headhunter. And I don't think you can be. They're out to get you. And Wilcox's forte was not coverage, whereas I think Ward's good in coverage, better than Wilcox. But you make a point about Wilcox. He could have went to some other places, and he chose the Bucs, and the next thing you know, he's out of a job and going to Pittsburgh.
Might be a better situation.
The irony is, look what the Steelers are doing. Didn't they grab Joe Hayden?
Yes.
Now they got Wilcox.
They're
all thinking about Tom Brady, you know, on January 22nd. And I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I don't blame Mike Tomlin for thinking about that.
You know, I'm not trying to hijack a subject here, so I apologize if I am. Another Ward question. I don't know if you saw what Albert Breer had in the MMQB last night. He talked, you know, who knows who he talked to. He claimed he spoke with two AFC West coaches. Doesn't mean it was Andy Reid. Could have been a flunky secondary coach. I don't know. He talked to two AFC West coaches about Ward, about, you know, why did Broncos let him go? They say he's slipping in coverage. Your thoughts?
It's easy to get these anonymous quotes, Lee. We've done it, too. Maybe some of them came from Bronco people.
And, AFC West didn't say.
Yeah. Guy leaves the compound.
Mm-hmm.
You give him a little kick on the way out.
Okay, that's a good point.
I still think he's a quality player. You know, is he Ed Reed? No, he's not Ed Reed. But I'm going to make this prediction. By week six, he's the best safety on the Tampa Bay Bucs.
By week six. Wow.
Not a tough prediction there with this bunch.
Oh, look at that, Steve. Look at that, Steve. You're supposed to be all peaches and cream.
He should
over
be.
Here.
That's why they signed him. That's why otherwise they don't make the move. All right, Ira, as far as the Bucs offense goes, there's two important things going on. First, we're going to go right to the running back situation. There's three running backs on this roster. Doug Martin is suspended, not on the roster, three games to go. They cut Jeremy McNichols. Where do you stand right now on Doug Martin? What's going on here?
Most people think Doug Martin is going to be on this roster in week four. Steve Isbitz does not. The Kemper's on the fence. And I'm starting to lean that he will be with a restructured contract.
Oh.
That's the key. I ain't giving that man $7 million or whatever it is. Not doing it. And if he doesn't want to play for that, he'll move on. Can you start the season with three running backs, Lee? You're a little short there. It wouldn't stun me if they pick somebody up.
Not at all.
Now, what's the game plan for Miami, Lee, on the ground? The game plan is Jacquizz Rodgers is going to get his chance, Lee. Now, he's not going to get 30 carries like he did that night in Charlotte. Probably not. Charles Sims, who's been the sensation of training camp, according to Dirk Cutter, and much to your chagrin, by the way, because you might have had him cut over the weekend. He's going to be that third down back and the pass catcher without McNichols taking any receptions away. And by the way, it's worth mentioning, we said it on the podcast last week. I don't know if McNichols was going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He had trouble with the playbook. And when a coach says you better get in the playbook and he says it more than once,
you're in
trouble. But again, it shows your draft status is not going to save you, Lee. Now, he's not a first rounder or a second rounder. But no GM wants to admit and release a drafted player. They don't like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Every team does it. You know, it's very rare that all your draft picks make a team. And so he's a fifth-round pick. They're short in the backfield, guys. They're short in the backfield. I don't know who's out there, but I think Dirk Cutter's got to be a little concerned at this point.
Two things about the running backs. One, do you foresee Peyton Barber getting some runs?
Yes. I absolutely see Peyton Barber. I don't think he's out of favor, Steve. I don't think Peyton Barber's out of favor.
Lee, where are you on Doug Martin?
Buyer beware. Buyer beware. I mean, if you're going to throw all your chips in the middle of the table on Doug Martin, buyer beware. It's, you know, what your parents tell you. If you can't make a decision, write down everything good about the decision, write down everything bad about the decision, and whatever adds up the most, you pick. Well, Doug, you know, as much as people want to ignore it, Doug Martin's got a whole heck of a lot more X's than check marks. I'm sorry. He's got two great seasons, three garbage seasons, and a drug suspension. Is that someone to start doing jumping or backflips over that you got him? I mean, could he have a good year? He could. And I could also go home tonight with a Bucks cheerleader. I sure as hell wouldn't bank on it.
I hope Martin's chances are a lot better than that one.
I mean, I hope.
Steve, are you worried about the contract? Is the contract the thing that is driving?
Throw the contract out the window for a second. Take what Lee said and throw in injury history and coming off a lousy season.
And a suspension.
Lee mentioned the suspension. Yeah. So take everything he said, throw in injury history, significant, and coming off just a crap season on 144 carries. Now, we know the business side of this is the contract is an issue. Money is always in the picture, but take the money away, it is a bad risk. If you're going to gamble on Doug Martin, it's a bad gamble. That's the only way I look at it. And I think this regime comes back to they're smart enough to recognize this is a bad gamble.
What if you get him on your terms, Steve, financially?
Well, if the gamble changes financially, sure. But still, on the field, it's still a bad gamble in my eyes.
Isn't he still the best buck runner?
Why? That's what I want. I want an answer. Why? Well, why? What did he show you last year that makes you think?
Because he's had two 1,500-yard seasons and none of these other guys.
What about last year? Just an anomaly?
Last year?
Yeah, last year.
Or 14?
The line was bad. The line was
so
bad.
So you blame it on the line?
Well, part of it. But most of the blame goes to Doug Martin. Even when he came back, he wasn't in shape. Yeah. And it mentally, with his problems, he wasn't ready to play. Yeah, so he stole money last year.
Pretty much. And what Steve's comeback would be, if I can be so forward here, and I agree with him, and we've argued with people about this, if the line was Doug Martin's problem, then why the hell did Rodgers have better numbers?
He did.
Rodgers had better numbers. And then, you know, as Steve said, was last year just an anomaly? Was 2013 just an anomaly? Was 2014 just an anomaly?
He looks like a guy that has to have that carrot out in front of him to be motivated.
And
Steve,
who said that? Jason Light is the one who said that.
Yes.
He might be that carrot guy, which is interesting.
When a GM says that publicly.
Does you get more of a carrot from Martin if you restructure the contract like you suggest? Like, let's say the Bucks say, Doug, we're going to pay you what we paid Jaquizz, $1.5 million, $1.7 million.
He goes out and gets 1,000 yards.
And we'll give you an incentive.
Doesn't that put him in a good position to cash in a year from now in his
mind?
Well,
remember, NFL teams, they know about that age factor with running backs. He's going to be 29 after the season. Here's my thing about Doug Martin real quick.
You don't trust him.
I don't trust him. I think
you can't get any more blunt than that, Steve.
As a person, you know, dealing with him, media, fantastic guy. And he's been overly kind with me. I have nothing personally against the guy. I don't care about personal feelings. What I care about is production. I don't trust him to get production. And if Doug Martin, and this, you could argue that Doug Martin is the best option for the Bucks at running back. You could make that argument. And to me, that just suggests that this is the weakest link on the team, running back, if he is your best option.
Exactly. If that's your best option, you've got some challenges. But do you believe, Ira, forget about me, do you believe that the Bucks are going to take this to the wire to see what happens with the triumvirate of running backs?
I think they will not. They will make a decision when they are forced to make a decision. Like,
you know, I hope Martin runs for 1,500 yards this year. I really do. I just don't trust him. It's that simple with me. I don't trust him. I sure hope so. Like I say, I like the guy, and yes, he's shown he can be a good runner in the past. But more often than not, he's shown
the other question is, do you trust any of the three running backs on the roster? Do you trust them?
Well, of course they do. Of course they do.
I'm asking you, Mr.
Do I trust them? Do I trust this group to be more reliable than Doug Martin? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. 100%. Now, so Ira, let's fast forward. Week 3 is in the books. Jason Light calls up Doug Martin's agent and says, we want Doug back. We'll give him $1.5 million. We'll throw an incentive out there for playing time. And are you in or out? Do you think Doug Martin says I'm in? Or does he want to test the market?
It's a dead market right now. It's a dead market for Doug Martin. He's got no leverage. Who's Doug Martin?
That's a good point.
At this point.
Well, who's Doug Martin? Then why do
we
want him?
Who's Doug Martin?
Who's Doug Martin? Why do we want him then?
because Buck fans remember two 1,500-yard seasons.
So the rest of the NFL doesn't remember that?
No, it's different. He's a Buccaneer. He did it for this team. If I'm Doug Martin, I'm taking $1.5 million. I might take a lot less than that.
You know
your teammates, they've all supported you.
Yes, they have.
As well as you could hope for.
And that's, you know what, that does say something, because you could say he torpedoed the Bucs season last year. Yes. When they needed him the most, he was not there.
If he balks at it, I say good riddance. I'll tell you that, Lee. Good
yeah,
riddance.
I mean, but think about this. You could argue he Pearl Harbored the Bucs season last year. They needed him the most in New Orleans. Playoff game on the line. He was a healthy scratch. A lot of teams, a guy would pull a stunt like that, they'd want him out of here. They said get rid of him.
Fair point.
But the Bucs team, his teammates have embraced him, have, you know, rallied to his cause, so to speak. So, I mean, that does say something. What it says, I don't really know, other than maybe they like him.
I think he benefits from McNichols not getting the job done.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. That's a benefit
Sims
for Doug
too.
Martin.
Sims, too.
It's a benefit for Martin. If McNichols would have been impressive,
sure,
that's a factor.
Yeah, it's all a big puzzle here. But
yes,
when you say who's Doug Martin, then you have to put the spotlight back on this team of why would they want to pay him. But we don't know what's going to happen in the league in 3 weeks. Suppose Jay Ajayi goes down and the Dolphins are aching for a back because they're 2-1 after they lost to the Bucs, they won 2 straight. You know, I mean, who knows, Ira? It's fascinating, and I know people think that we hate Doug Martin. It's the silliest thing from the truth. Just don't trust the guy, and don't ask me, speaking personally, to embrace a guy after a year of crappy film and 3 out of 5 bad years. The math is off. Sorry, the math is
now,
off.
Now, guys, the next time we meet, we could have a game on our doorstep.
Could.
If the NFL, now, according to Izbits, the NFL is not going to rule till Saturday afternoon at noon and say we're playing in 2 hours,
we'll know.
A plane.
We'll know.
But I predict this game's going to be moved up and it's going to still be played at Hard Rock Stadium.
Before we go there, I had another point about the running back situation. Now, we know you got involved in Todd Wright's fantasy football draft. Todd Wright's the fantasy football guru. His podcasts are on JoeBucksFan.com. They're very popular. A lot of knowledge in there, a lot of wisdom. You right now, Mr. Kaufman, are the fantasy football wizard since you joined Todd Wright's fantasy football.
Some analytics gave me a B- and said I'm going 3-10. I got an email about that. Doesn't fill me with confidence.
I want your wizardry on this. A buddy of mine in Pittsburgh texted me Sunday gloating that he got Charles Sims in the 8th round. He thought since Martin is being suspended,
well,
that
they,
Charles Sims is
if,
the...
If they pay off for blocks against the blitzing linebacker, you know, the guy might get some bonus points.
He thought that Charles Sims would be the number one back without Martin. I'm like, dude, you should have texted me.
I hope you straightened
him. Well, I straightened him out too late. He already picked him.
8th round, that's actually not bad, you know, because Sims could end up getting a lot of carries, and if he does what he did 2 years ago, he'll get a lot of touchdowns.
He was gloating about the 8th round.
Much more effective, Steve, in a number 2 role, no question.
8th round is a possibility. All right, Ira, Hard Knocks tomorrow night. We will have some decisions on this game, which should be fascinating. Fingers crossed that nothing changes and that we can go on Sunday.
I hope they don't show too much video of that Redskins game, guys. That was tough duty, in the words of Lovie Smith. That's,
you know,
tough duty watching that game.
I don't know if Hard Knocks is still here or not. I don't know that, because obviously I think they go right up to, you know.
I don't think they're here.
But here's the thing. Talk about drama. Hurricane coming? Right there would be a segment for Hard Knocks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're gone. They cleared out over the weekend.
Well, they better finish with a bang, because I've been, quote, underwhelmed, Mr. Izbits. Underwhelmed.
Well, at this point, you know, Hard Knocks.
The Kempers got him winning an Academy Award over there.
No.
Brilliant cinematography behind the scenes of Nico Grimes.
Yeah.
Right, you know.
There's a reason why this is one of the highest rated Hard Knocks series in years.
I haven't written it up yet. Jason Light on the Buccaneers Radio Network pregame show before the final preseason game.
Do you monitor that, Jason Light?
All right, it's what we do, Kaufman. Come on. And he basically told Gene Deckerhoff that he will miss Hard Knocks, that it was just such a good experience that he's going to miss it, which really sort of opened my eyes, like, well, maybe they'll invite him back. You know, you never know.
Well,
what's that series? I can't think what the name of it is, but a couple
the
years.
The Honeymooners. No, go ahead. Well,
just for our listeners under 70, the Honeymooners, basically the Flintstones, was a cartoon knockoff of the Honeymooners.
There you go. But they didn't have Jackie Gleason.
Well, Fred Flintstone was Jackie Gleason, but for our audience under 40, they don't know who the hell the Flintstones were, for that matter.
Well, that's why we educate while we entertain.
But there's a series NFL film started in association with Amazon, who's a new broadcast partner player in the NFL world, where they embed a Hard Knocks style show, but they're embedded with the team throughout the season. The Arizona Cardinals did one a couple years ago. Last year, I can't remember who it was. Rams, and it was born. The most exciting thing was when Fisher got fired, but the cameras weren't there when he got fired. Oh. So it was the Rams and the Cardinals. The Cardinals was really, really good because obviously Steve Keim's a personality.
And Arians
is wonderful. You had all kinds of personalities in there. Fitzgerald. So that was really good. But the Rams was a snoozer. But to Steve, what Steve's saying, maybe if it was a good experience. And if the Bucks have a good season, you don't have some of these old codgers saying, Hard Knocks cursed us, which is baloney. Maybe they do invite NFL films back for that season-long. I can't remember what to call it, but it's in association with Amazon. But it's a season-long Hard Knocks, and that would be cool.
Can you imagine what this uncertainty is doing to Mr. Dirk Cutter? He's a creature of habit, just like all head coaches.
Bingo.
He's on a timetable, Lee.
Yeah.
He's thinking about September 10th. Since April 22nd. Well, that's all he's thinking about. Now it's not going to be September 10th.
Well, I'll give you an example of the creature of habit the Cutter is. Last year, when that overtime game with the Raiders, the Bucks had to turn around Thursday night game. I asked him, like, are you going to have to change up your practice schedule? And he's like, oh my God, I really don't know, Lee. And, I mean, you could tell he was as frustrated about that as he was the loss in overtime to the Raiders.
I really, really hope that nothing gets changed because, like you said, there's a lot goes into a game. Fans a lot of times think, hey, they get on the field, but you're talking game plans and travel and all these logistics that the Bucks don't need all those hassles.
Hey, let's hope the storm takes a turn and doesn't hit the mainland.
Well, yeah, that's why I keep saying I hope.
I mean, you know, we're talking about a football game. Yeah, and we're talking about a killer storm.
Yeah, just look at Houston.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, is I hope that nothing needs to change, period, because that means the storm fizzled or twisted or turned or wherever.
Turn north, young man. Turn north, young lady.
Head north. All right, Ira. You need to start visiting joebucksfan.com/podcasts. That's the way to find all the whole joebucksfan.com family of podcasts. Wednesday is, of course, the Scuttlebucks, the new podcast from Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang from ESPN Tallahassee. You can subscribe to that on iTunes, and they are firing with some good stuff. Definitely, Ira, go home, listen to The Commish with Chris Myers. We're going to talk about that. So your homework assignment. Next podcast, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that Chris Myers had to say in that interview.
Riveting stuff, Ira.
Some riveting stuff. One, he talked a little bit about Lovie Smith and free agents. He also talked a little bit about he talked about Doug Martin. Mr. Chris Myers, you listen to that interview, you will walk away thinking Doug Martin is not on this roster come week 4, which is very interesting. We know that Myers talks with Rondé Barber and meets with Dirk Cutter, and he talked about some of his meetings with Dirk Cutter recently. So interesting
Chris
stuff.
Chris Myers letting his hair down, Lee?
Chris Myers, 20 minutes with the commish on Bucks Uncensored on
When's that going up?
Monday's episode. It's up right now. So you're going to go home and listen to that before our next podcast. Your columns every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Assignment, Lee.
You got an assignment.
I'm back in high school.
You got an assignment. You got to get it done.
But no Muriel Berkowitz to help you out.
And next time we need to hear a little bit more about elementary school Irma pulling your hair. I think her name was Greenblatt, and she got a little feisty. We need to hear a little bit more about that. All right, Kaufman, get out of here.